All right, Dennis, welcome to the podcast, brother. Appreciate you taking the time. We've been trying to do this for a while, but we both know reality of football, reality of schedules, time differences take some time. But glad to have you on and excited to hear about your story.
Thanks for having me, man.
For sure, bro. Yeah, so get right into it. Just introduce yourself, your name, where you're from, your age, position, and where you're currently playing and your mindset overall right now.
I'm Denis Selanovic. I'm a international player for Liechtenstein, for national team of Liechtenstein. I'm 27 years old. I'm living actually right now in Liechtenstein because I'm without a club. I'm looking for a club right now. I've been in so many different countries, different places like Spain, Finland, Switzerland, like Croatia. I've seen a lot in Europe, especially. So, yeah, but right now I'm just trying to stay in shape, trying to keep my fitness level up and as high as possible to get ready when the door opens, when a new challenge coming.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Yeah, I mean, before we get into your journey, I think that's a great place to start because I think, you and me both know the toughest place to be is a free agent, especially, since you've had such a great career so far, national team player, played in some top leagues. What's your mindset, as a free agent? How do you deal with that? Because I think that's the most important way to really approach that next opportunity and next challenge.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough, especially like the first 2 or 3 weeks might be maybe easy. Like you see it like maybe not a holiday, but like you have time for family and friends. You can catch up with them. But like after a while, if you're like without a club for more than 2 or 3 weeks, it gets tough. Like every day more at home is getting tougher. So like, and it's getting harder to find something, to find a club, because like all these clubs, they are asking themselves like, why is this player without a club? Like, what's the reason for it? And yeah, and it's so hard to try and prove them wrong and like to prove them that you are actually in shape, that you are like without a club because it's unlucky. Like not all the time, it's just because of a specific reason. So for some players, it's actually just because they were unlucky at some point in their career, like maybe with wrong decisions, like in decision making. And yeah, that's basically my story about it. Like I had I made some bad decisions, maybe like going to places I shouldn't have gone. Like maybe Croatia was a place where, yeah, it was very tough to deal with, like to just try to get in a first 11, making those experiences at a young age, like with all this corruption and like with all these things, not getting paid for 3 or 4 months and all these things, dealing with those things was very hard. But it's not like I regret it. Like, of course, you can learn from all these decisions, obviously. But yeah, maybe I would have chosen different paths throughout my career. Maybe would have been different outcome. But like I said, like I'm trying to keep my fitness level, my shape, I try to be in the best condition possible and be ready, stay ready, because like there can be a phone call tomorrow, today even. So, and that's the reality of a football player. Like you gotta stay ready. There's we're just leaning back and enjoying your free time actually. So yeah.
Yeah, that's well said, and that's exactly it. I think, the reality of football, like it could be like for a couple months you have no clubs interested in you at all, and then for example, a couple months down the road you have like three or four clubs interested. So I think the main thing like you're doing is staying motivated, staying fit, and staying ready. Because you never know when that opportunity is going to come. And just like you said, if you get too down on yourself, you get demotivated and you get out of shape, and then the opportunity comes, then you have regrets.
Exactly. Like the motivation is a big factor as well. Like you gotta stay motivated. Like even I would be lying if I don't have those days where I ask myself like, oh, what am I doing and all these things. But then I just try to think about the good days, about the good sides of football, like what football gives you actually. Like I think it gives you more than like good, more positive things than negative things. So that's why I'm trying to stay in football in this professional life as long as possible. And yeah, like trying to find that motivation and going to training, going to the practice all those days, like sometimes just for yourself. Like it needs a lot of discipline, but I think that was never a factor with me. So I'm just trying to stay busy, trying to stay in shape, like I said, and yeah, waiting
for you. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, I see, you know, you seem like a very fit guy, very on top of your stuff and discipline, but just like everyone, we're not robots. You know, we have ups and downs, we have emotions. There are times we don't feel motivated, we don't feel disciplined. So like on those days when you don't feel that discipline to put in the extra training or go do your session, what do you tell yourself? Are there any things that you do to make yourself get up off the couch and get outside and get going?
I mean, yeah, like there are some days like this and I just try to force myself. I'm just asking myself like, hey, why am I doing this? Like if I don't go now, like why did I do it yesterday? Why did I do it all these years? Like I've been in this business like for 10 years almost now, like in this professional football world. So just asking myself like, what were those 10 years for? If I'm not motivated now, like I can just stop and go to work, like be a normal person, but I don't want that. I want to be a football player. I want to have the job. Like I want to have my hobby as my job. And that's what I'm trying to tell myself. And of course, some days it's easier to go there. You feel like super motivated. You are spending extra hours in the gym. And sometimes it's just a basic workout. Try to get it done as good as possible and just go home and then take care of yourself. Like but on those bad days or like on those days I don't feel myself, I just try to think about the reason why I started, and then like it's coming. Yeah.
I love that, bro. It's all about tuning into the deep why and you know exactly finding the reason for what you do. So it's very well said. Yeah, man. So if you could just take us through a little bit about your journey. You know, you're born in Liechtenstein. When did you start playing the game? When did you fall in love with the game?
Yeah, I mean, I started falling in love like at a very early age. Like I was growing up with a ball at my feet. Like it's basically like as far as I can remember, like with 3 years old, 4 years old, I was already playing football. I was already having a ball at my feet all the time. And So yeah, basically I started like at the age of 6, 7, in my local home team, like playing there just for fun. But then like as I got a little bit older, maybe 10, 11, my dad was actually my coach. So Yeah, and it was very hard. Like some people that like he forced me, he pushed me really hard. Like he was really hard on me, like more than with the others, because he knew that I have the potential to get into the professional football world one day. Mm-hmm, so he pushed me a lot, and that even though those times were really hard, and then I got into the like kind of, I don't know how to say it, but there were like from all these local teams in Liechtenstein, you have like the not the national team, but there's like an under 13, like 14 for the team, for all the players from the region, where they just pick the best players from all these local teams and make a team themselves and try to compete against, I don't know, FC Zurich under 13, FC Basel under 13, like all these bigger clubs in Switzerland as well. And yeah, I got into that like with 12 years old as well. Started with everyday training, like going training by bus and all these things, like, you know, can imagine. And then with 17, I got a first offer from Tottenham Hotspurs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like they invited me for a trial, for like tryouts. And then I got injured. Before I had to go there, like I got injured. Like I had, I don't know, a rupture in my ankle or something like that. And or high ankle spray, I don't remember, and I couldn't go there. And then I was devastated. I was like, oh damn, like the chance is gone, you know, like it was a once in a lifetime chance. But then those guys who set up this trial to Tottenham, they called me actually and said, hey, look, injuries is a part of football, and we are working on you, we're working hard to get you through something. And then they came up with a backup plan, like it was Atletico Madrid. And they asked me, of course, I want to do that. Like, you know, besides school, football here, like, I want to do that. And then I went for a trial for 1 week. And basically, I came back after being home for 2 days, 3 days. They called me and said, hey, we want this player.
Wow.
Very interesting player for us. And, and then I was in a dilemma. I was in a struggle, man. I was, like, going to school. I was playing here. I was at home with all my friends here, never living up by myself. My mom was scared. Hey, no, don't take this chance. Don't go because, I don't know, you're only 17. But my dad was the opposite, of course. He said, nah, you got to take this chance. That's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. And I took it, man.
Yeah. Love it.
I fell in love with it. Like, first, I didn't speak any Spanish when I got there. So it was very hard for me to talk, to make some friends. But, like, after a while, those guys, like, I'm still in contact with some of those guys. Like,
Wow. As
became family, man. And it is what it is. After that, like, I've been there for more than a year, maybe. And then I got my first professional contract in Croatia, in the first division of Croatia. And, yeah, like I said, like, I didn't have the best time there in Croatia. Like, as a young player coming into a team, like, seeing the professional world for the first time. But, yeah, I tried to fight through. It didn't work out like I wished it would have. But then I came back to Liechtenstein to just regain a focus, regain my power. I was going back to amateur level football for half a year because I couldn't find something after my time in Croatia. And I found the joy back in football again. And then, I don't know, like, the rock started rolling, I guess. Like, I went to the second division in Switzerland. Then I got an offer from the first division in Switzerland. I was playing in the highest tier in Switzerland for 3 years, 4 years almost. We were playing Europa League qualifiers against Spartak Moscow and all these big teams, you know. And after that, I got an offer in Finland. I went to Finland for in the highest tier of Finland, played there for two and a half years. And yeah, after that, I got back home. I got an offer in Spain. I was playing in Spain now in the third highest tier. It was amazing, man. Like, we played against Real Madrid 2. We played against Celta Vigo B. All these young teams. Like, it was a very nice experience. And I had, like, some injuries, like, throughout my career, throughout my path. They holding me back a little bit. Now that's probably the biggest reason why I couldn't find something, even though I'm in shape now, even though I don't feel nothing, even though I'm still with the national team, man, playing all these games on the big stage, the biggest stage. But so that's basically half my career, now.
Yeah, very interesting, man. Yeah, let's dive back in. I mean, first of all, you know, your father, was he a player as well?
He was, but in the second highest tier in Bosnia. Like, he was not into that professional football world like me right now. He was just basically just enjoying football more as a coach and more as a wise man interested in football and trying to get these young players get those young players the knowledge they need for football and preparing them for what comes and trying to tell them how hard the professional business is, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Any idea on why he wanted to push you to get to the next level? Was it because he wished he got to that level and he wanted to, you know, you as his son to really, you know, fulfill and flourish the dream?
I mean, that could be maybe because he never said that actually like that, but I think that could be a reason for it. But I think the other reason is just because he saw the potential in me. Like, at a very young age, when I was just playing in my garden with the other neighbor kids, like, you could tell that I had special, like, the way I control the ball, my movements, my speed, and all those things. Like, he saw that. He was one of the first guys who saw that, and that's why he tried to push me and tried to push this potential, like, to the maximum. And, like, I was spending with him, like, I don't know, every day of the week, like, on a football field, like, doing extra hours with him. So I enjoyed it, but it was tough as well. Like, right now I'm thankful for it, but at those times I was, like, it was it wasn't the best, you know, like
yeah
as
yeah
you wish you just can go out and play with your neighbor kids, but you have like other duties to do, like you're just on the training ground just working on yourself.
Yeah what age did he start making you do those extras?
I mean, it started at an early age. Like I was maybe 6-7 years old when I started.
Wow.
Training. Yeah.
Wow. That's some serious stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, man, you know, just for the listeners who are not familiar with Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
What, you know, if you could just describe it real quick and in relationship with Switzerland and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like Liechtenstein is like based basically in the middle of Europe, like in the heart of Europe. It's between like Austria and Switzerland. So I often say, like, when people ask me from other places, other countries, like, where are you from? I often say Switzerland, because people don't know Liechtenstein as good as maybe. And the differences from Switzerland, they are not as big. Like, of course, we are a known country, like we have pride and we are feeling as Liechtenstein people. But it's like we have open borders with Switzerland. We have the same Switzerland. So it's kind of not similar place, but basically, if you know how Switzerland looks, you can get an image of how Liechtenstein looks as well. And we have like 40,000 inhabitants, so
okay,
small country. But
yeah,
that's basically it. Yeah,
sounds good, man. Sounds good. Interesting. Yeah. So if you could take us through, how did you get seen by Tottenham? You said it was a couple guys that organized it, but you know, you said you were playing in, you know, the Liechtenstein like select team, so to say, and you're playing other clubs. How did Tottenham find you?
Exactly, like Tottenham found me through, we had an international youth tournament with Liechtenstein under 17. We had a, I don't know, the tournament was in Hungary, I think. We played Hungary, Albania, Italy, and I mean, I played well those three games. And then, I don't know, I think it was the coach of Albania who came to the hotel where we were staying, and he asked me like, hey, where are you playing right now? Like, what is your dream, your goal? And are you interested in moving abroad? I said, yeah, of course. That's my wish. That's my dream. And then he said, hey, I can set you up with some contacts I have. And basically that was it. Like, I don't know, a week after they called me. They said, hey,
wow,
I have this opportunity in Tottenham. They're looking for a winger, for a player like you. Do we want to take it? I said, yeah, why not? And then the day after, I sprained my ankle. And
jeez.
Boom. Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah, but then you got that opportunity at Atletico. That's, you know, probably as good or could be better. How did that go? You know, how was it walking in over there? And what was your experience? I mean, especially at a young age.
Oh, man. It was like the first day. It was horrible, I'll tell you honestly. I arrived there at the airport in Madrid. There was like no one picking me up. Like, I just got addressed, like, just give the taxi driver the address, he will drive you there. I gave him the address, the taxi driver drove me there, and I arrived there. I didn't know the entrance, I didn't know anyone, I didn't have contacts there, without even knowledge of Spanish. I was just ringing the door, and some random dude, like, who was playing in Atletico at that time as well, opened the door, was like super confused, like, what is this young guy here? And I was like, hey, look, I'm here for tryouts. Do you know where I can stay? Do you know, like, do you have a contact person here? And he helped me, like, basically, like, he helped me going through these first 2-3 days. And after that, it was fine. But like, the first day it was horrible. It was like,
yeah,
staying in my bed in my room, I was like, man, do I really want to be here? Like, it's so tough. I don't know anyone. Don't know the
language.
I'm in a country I don't know nothing about, basically. But hey, sometimes you got to fight through and do everything for your dream, you know? And in credit. So it was an interesting time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and we could tune back to the first question I had, you know, about how you find that motivation and that discipline and, you know, doing what you've done and traveling overseas at a young age, not knowing the language, not having a family, not knowing the culture. That's the toughest part, you know? So when you really get out of that comfort zone, you know, I always try to tell it to parents and young kids, like, no matter if you make it as a pro or not, the journey that you are on to be a pro will take you into your next career, you know, and, you know, once you get into the real world, it'll really allow you to develop and flourish. So I think it's all about using it as a platform to just develop yourself as a person.
Exactly. Like it's like an education for life, actually. Like, I was 17. I couldn't do my clothes. I couldn't wash my clothes. I couldn't cook because I was with my mama. Very well all the time. So just at a place like at the age of 17, being forced to do everything by yourself and to do learn everything by yourself, and like that's something I'm very proud of myself, and like that helped me a lot. Like that was super important. I would even say more important than the football part. Like it was a life school, actually. Like it was education life. So yeah, that's the biggest plus or the biggest positive thing that that happened to me in that time, or that I took from that.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Yeah, so if you could just take us onto the training ground, how was that, you know, going into, you know, after you had those trials, or actually take us back to the trials, like, how were you feeling? You know, obviously, probably the highest level you were at, you know, you're probably a bit nervous. How did you go into the trials? Because that's a common question I get from youngsters, like, how do I go into a trial, you know, especially at that level and not become nervous and stuff like that?
I mean, I would lie if I would say, like, don't be nervous, because like you getting nervous and anxious like 100%, especially at a big club like this. Like I try to stay calm, I try to stay as calm as possible, but once you enter this training ground where you see the badge in front of the entry and you see like with Atletico all the red and blue colors everywhere, like you start to get nervous, but you also start to dream. Like you start to, hey, if I really make this, like be a life-changing opportunity for me, but hey, I tried to do my best. I knew that, like, with the mindset, I had the mindset that, hey, they invited me for a reason. I can play football. I know what I'm able to do, like what I'm capable of, and I try to put as less pressure on myself as possible. Like, of course, you want to prove them, you want to show them your skills, but just try to stay like with your basics, just try to do your skills, your strengths. Try to show your strengths. Don't try to do things. Don't try to, I don't know, dribble five people or something like that. Like that's sometimes young people like think, okay, I'm at the tryout. I have to dribble five people, score four goals in a game, and hopefully they will give me a chance, you know. But it's not like that. Just play your game. Just show what you're capable of. Just do your role, fit in your role, and everything else will come. And that's how I did it. And yeah, like basically it was just that. I didn't do any extra, I didn't do any special movements, special tricks, special dribblings. I just did my job, and the coach was happy with it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's very well said. I mean, I completely agree with you. I think it's, you know, playing to your strengths, not doing things that you're not good at. So the goal is to, you know, kind of stand out in your own sense. But I always refer back to this. It's, you know, when you're on a trial, the goal is to first fit in. Exactly. And then once you get into that team, then you can stand out and show more of your better qualities. Exactly. But like you said, I think it's like in the beginning, you don't have to like overshow your flair and stuff like that. And I think it eventually comes out.
And just be aware, and just be aware of it, that like if you enter a big club like that, even playing for under 19s trials or like second team, like just be aware of the fact that there will be other players maybe with the same skill set as you, maybe even better than you at this age or at this point of your career. So just try to stay calm. Like maybe if you get invited for a trial, you'll probably be the best player of your team right now. So don't forget the fact that if you enter a big club, there will be other players maybe who are like as good as you. So scared or don't get too afraid with it. So that's why I'm always saying also stay with the basics. If you do the basics right, like there's zero possibility to fail. Like, and even if you fail, like I said, it's not a failure. It's just a education for life. Like you will get something out of from it, even if you get the contract or not. So.
Yeah, 100%. Very well said. So yeah, how did it go at Atletico? How long did you spend there? What was your overall experience? You know, what were some of like your key takeaways that you got from, let's say, the mentality of the players compared to where you were at Liechtenstein, and like how they approach training, the overall professionalism? What are some things that you took from that experience into, you know, your next club in, you know, Croatia?
I mean, the biggest change from, like, I would say European football is that they do all the training is just 100% with a football on their feet. Like, they also do the running parts with a ball on the feet. They do a lot of technical training, a lot of exercises to practice, like the basics, like not trying to do a lot of skills, just try first touch, second touch, scoring, all these easy things, like, or you might say easy things, but just keep it very simple. And like, the biggest takeaway, or like the biggest memory I have from it, was like when I got the chance to do the preseason. Like, I did 2 weeks with the first team, like in the preseason.
Wow.
That was amazing. Like, it was at the time, and just Antoine Griezmann came to the club when Fernando Torres back. Like, it was amazing. Like, and you see, you get a like reality check, in a sense that you see, oh, you now see actually what it takes, what it needs to be on the highest level. Like, and you can learn from that. And those people, like, they try to help you. Like, I had talks with Fernando Torres. I had talks with Antoine Griezmann. Like, I asked them, hey, how is it for you? Like, is it, do you get nervous? And some of the players still get nervous, even at that high level. Like, it's so much higher in those first team trainings. Like, it's not even that they are like better footballers or like doing more skills than you. It's just about the intensity and the speed and the quality of the things. Like, if you can perfection the easy thing in football, you'll get far. I can tell you that. So that's why they are there. Not because you can juggle the ball for 200 times, you know. Like, it's about the basics, about perfectioning the basics, I would say.
100%. Yeah, that's so well said. What did you notice about, like, those guys during training? I mean, their mentality, you know, guys like Torres, Griezmann. What was the mentality of these first team guys?
I mean, I would say, especially in Atletico Madrid, there's like no star power at all. Like, there's like no one standing out being a star or something like that. Like, that's just 22 guys running, fighting, training in the games. Like, but like, they don't see a difference between practice and games. Like, they're practicing on the same intensity as they enter a game, like in La Liga, for example. So I was surprised, because sometimes you get the feeling, or you think, that players take it more easy in training.
Yeah.
But in a it wasn't that. And also, like, with on as a coach, like, you get scared, man, to run after a ball. Like, yeah, he can get loud if you don't run and do the pressing and do everything correctly. So yeah, that's why I was very impressed about, like, Griezmann, Torres, Arda Turan, Koke, Gavi, all these players. They're doing their job, and to a perfection, like on 100% intensity. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible, bro. What an experience, man. And then take us to Croatia. How did that come about?
Yeah, Croatia came, like, it came up with my agent at that time. Like, he got that offer, and I was a little bit struggling with, like, decision making. Should I stay in Atletico? Because in Atletico, they offered me another year, another contract. And then my agent said to me that, okay, might work with Atletico as well, but the chance or the odds to get in the first team of Atletico Madrid, they're, like, it's very hard to get in the first team. So he said, your odds, your chances to be in a good professional club would increase if you start with a maybe smaller professional club, but to experience already that professional level, because it's a different world, like professional football, than the youth football, you know. And, and that was basically the main reason why I went to Croatia, just to experience the professional football for me. And I mean, it worked well the first, I would say, 1 or 2 months maybe. And after that, like, they changed the board members, they changed the coach, they changed everyone. And it was, it was, it was a disaster after that. Like, bringing in players, just being from one day to another, just being forced to be on the bench 90 minutes or not even being called up. It was tough.
Like you said, another learning experience. But how was that that first, you know, first professional contract? How was the environment? How was it different, like you said, compared to the youth level and the mentality during trainings?
I mean, the biggest takeaway, the biggest difference is like that the players in a professional club or on professional level, they're like more chill, I would say. Like, they're enjoying football even more than at that youth age, because I think in these youth teams, you feel like the pressure. Everybody like wants to get to a professional level, and they're putting too much pressure on themselves, and they sometimes forget to even enjoy the football. And that's like,
that's true.
That was like kind of the biggest takeaway for me. Like, in a youth level with under 19 of Atletico Madrid, the players are putting so much pressure on themselves that they forget to enjoy the football. And then you get to where everybody is already a professional. Like, you play with a 35-year-old guy, like you are 18. Like, there are different worlds. Like, you know, that guy with a 35, he saw basically everything already in football. You are new, but it's a chance for you to go ask them, like, hey, what should I do? And also the things like with carrying the material, carrying the bottle, all these things, like, you know, as a young player, you got to do that. And that's also like a thing where I struggled in the first place, like, because in a youth age, I was not used to those things, you know. But then when you're at a professional level, those older guys, they get very strict with you sometimes.
For sure. And anything, you know, really specific, because you said you went up to guys at Atletico. Did you also go up to guys in this new club in Croatia and ask them about their experience? Because I think that's a great thing to do. I don't know, players don't do that as much nowadays, but, you know, going up to the older players, the veterans who've been playing many, many years in the game and learning off them, it's like a cheat code, you know?
Of course, like, you can get so much out of that, out of those players, like so many information, like key information for your career. Like, you can ask them, hey, how do you deal with this situation? Like, how do you deal with if you're not playing? And like, when I didn't play, like, those older players told me, hey, go talk to the coach. Like, just ask him, ask him for a reason. If the coach doesn't give you a reason for not calling you into the squad or just benching you without a reason, go ask him. Like, show a character, show that you're man enough to talk and that you're brave enough to talk. Just don't be too shy. Like, that's maybe the most important thing as a young guy. Like, of course, you have to behave, be respectful all the time. Like, I'm not saying that, but just show braveness. Like, show that you're a part of the locker room as well. Show that, hey, they got you. Like, you got there where you at for a reason. Like, you are at the club, the veteran, and ask him how he dealt with those situations. And in like 99% of the cases, especially the veterans, they will help you. They will help you so much with those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that also goes to show with, you know, doing the extra work, taking care of yourself, that just builds that confidence and then that ability to really talk to the coach and really express yourself, you know, taking care of yourself on and off the field, you know.
Exactly. Like I said, like, the coach, he was in a way surprised that I approached him, but in a way also like proud and happy that I did it.
Yeah.
So like, it's just a positive thing. Like, if you're just keeping your mouth shut and don't say nothing, like, the coaches don't like that as well. Like, they want to see that, hey, you are having the will to play, that you want to play, that you want to show that, hey, you are around. Like, I'm 18 years old, but I'm around. I want to play as much.
100%.
And I want to improve. I said to the coach, hey, coach, there's no problem of benching me, but just tell me where I have to improve. Like, what are the odds, like, of playing next game if I improve in this part? Like I said, with the veterans, like, in most cases with the coaches, the same thing. Like, they will tell you the reason why you didn't play this game and tell you those things where you have to improve. And, like, that's a lot of valuable information for you as well to get out of that. those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as you're saying that, it's just, you know, football is a dog eat dog world. You know, it's, you got to have no fear. Exactly. You know, obviously, like you said, you got to be respectful. You got to be polite. You got to be kind. But there's also a place where you got to, you know, put your foot down and not let people walk all over you, you know, and ask those hard questions, have those tough conversations, because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, I've been in that situation. I don't know if you have, but coaches will tell you what they want, what you want to hear, or they'll avoid the truth. You know what I mean? But usually as players, we just want to know like what's going on so we can work on that stuff. But a lot of the times, unfortunately, they already have their squad picked. You know, they already have their squad picked from the board. They already have their squad picked from the agents. So you never know. But the only thing you could really do is just control your own self, your own actions, your own decisions, and ask them straight up. And then, you know, do that extra work to try to improve. And if they don't provide you the answer, you just keep working, you know?
You just keep working, because in the end, you're working for yourself. If you don't get the chance in this club, you can at least say, hey, look, I tried everything. I kept myself in shape. I worked on my strengths. I worked on my weaknesses. And I'm ready for the next club. Because like the club in your career where those things turn around, like where you maybe start to play and where
exactly
you profit from all the time with those coaches and those situations. So like in football, it's so rare that like you get to every club and you play in every club. Like I think every professional player dealt with at least one situation where he wasn't happy, where he didn't play as much wanted to, and all these things. But it's just control yourself, control your fitness level, control your shape, your mindset as well, and all these things. Like you cannot do anything more than that. But so
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that comes to the point, I think, at the end of the day, you know, we only have such a short career, so the goal is not to waste time. I think the two toughest periods as a footballer are one, like where you're at right now, a free agent without a club, and two, being on the bench.
Exactly.
And I think it's easy to put in the extra work. It's easy to go to sleep at the right time. It's easy to eat right. It's easy to hang out with the right people. It's easy to do all those good things when you're being rewarded week in, week out. You're starting matches, you're playing well, you're getting those 3 points, you're getting your bonuses.
Yeah.
The hard times are the ones where you're on the bench. And, you know, your boys want to go out and get smashed. But you just say, no, I got to put in that extra session. I didn't play today. Or you want to, you know, you're tempted to eat, you know, worse meals. Or you're, you know, tempted not to train as much. And I think the most important time to be consistent and on your routine is during those tough periods.
Exactly.
And it's so much easier said than done, you know. But what I've realized in my career, I've made the mistake, you know, of doing the opposite. And then, like, I have those regrets. So what I definitely want to pass on to youngsters is, no matter what you're going through, we have such a short career. Don't waste time. You know, just put in that work. Yeah.
100%. Like, I'm agreeing with everything you just said. Like, it's 100% true. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, brother. So take us back. So after Croatia, I see you went to FC Balzers. Is that a team in Liechtenstein?
Yeah, that's like the local team in Liechtenstein, and on amateur level again, like, because I didn't play much in Croatia. Like when I got benched, I didn't play a minute anymore, and it was impossible. Like that was the first time in my career I experienced like the sad dark side of football. So until that time, everything went super perfect, like going to Atletico Madrid, going to Croatia, getting a professional contract, all these things, you know? And then being forced to this, being without a club, not playing, nobody wants you, like your hype is over kind of thing. Like it was very hard at a young age. I was maybe 19 or 20 years old at that time. And I just like, I wanted to regain my focus and like regain my happiness of football, because in that time when I was just on the bench, not playing, I lost the happiness kind of, you know. For professional football, I was asking myself, do I really want that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then I started there, like I was there maybe for 4 months, 5 months. I scored a lot of goals, and then like Rapperswil Jona came, and that was like already like the next step forward again, like in my career. Like that was again like a professional club as well. I was in professional football back again. Like I was out of it, but I had the chance to get to re-enter the professional football again, and I learned from it. I learned from the bad things, and I all again saw the differences between amateur level and professional level, because my mindset was so much different in Balsers when I was in an amateur level than from the other players, because I had this professional mindset. I was like, okay, I want to work out every day. I want to do so much more than the others. The others, they were just going to training, going back home, getting drinking a beer after the training, and that was like, hey, no, that's not for me. I can do that when I'm like, I don't know, 35, 36 years old. I'm young. I want to fight through this. I want to try everything I get. I got for my dream, like what I was working for. And I mean, in the end, it worked out pretty well. Like I got to Rapperswil-Jona, and there, like the coach loved me. I was playing super good. And after 2 years in the Rapperswil, I was back in first tier. Yeah.
Nice. So that club, what did they played Swiss Challenge League, and then you guys got promoted?
No, they were playing in promotion league, but
okay,
I got there and we promoted from promotion league to challenge league.
Okay, and very nice.
A season in challenge league, and after that, I got an offer from FC Thun in Super League.
Okay,
yeah,
wow, yeah. So it seems you spent. Did you spend 3 years at FC Thun?
Yeah, I think three and a half years or 3 years maybe.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, so how was that? You seem to have a pretty good stint over there.
I mean, it was good. Like it was the first experience on Switzerland's high level, and I was like, I got there without any pressure for myself. I just tried to play football with all the happiness I regained in Rapperswil. I was playing so good, man. Like I'm telling you, I was once like the best joker in the league. Like I was like having the best average, like scoring points per minute in the league.
Wow.
So yeah, I got this like media presence a little bit also back. And yeah, I was, but the thing in Thun was like the coach saw me as his perfect joker. Like, because every time I entered the game, something happened. Like I scored assist. And he told me once like, hey, for a player, you might don't want to hear this, but as a coach, it's just a treasure. Like I'm having you on the bench, and I know I can put you in whenever I need you, and like you can turn the game around. And of course, that's not the thing you want to hear as a coach.
Yeah,
get the chance to be a starter, of course. But like, yeah, that was like kind of my love-hate relationship with this club, because I never got the real chance to be a starter. Like I was a joker coming from the bench, doing my stuff, like we talked, working, doing extra shifts, all these things. I try to do the best I can in games. I did, actually, but yeah. So yeah, not the reward I wanted, let's say like that.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So how did you handle that? You know, how did you handle that conversation? Because it's obviously tough talk, tough to hear. What was your mindset after hearing that?
I mean, I got frustrated. Like I got super frustrated. Like that talk, and I was like, man, like I don't want to be on a bench. Like I'm a starter. So, but hey, like I tried to put my head back together. Try to keep doing my thing. I knew that, like, hey, probably if things don't change like this, I'm just being on a bench. The best I can do is just to score goals, do assists, getting good statistics, getting good games in, and leave the club and get a chance maybe somewhere else. But for that, good games. And the coach is at least giving me, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes a game, and I got to do the best out of it.
So for sure.
If I don't get play 90 minutes, I got to do it in 30 minutes. And yeah, that was basically the mindset I had. Like I was like, okay, not friends with my role, but I tried to accept it and try to make the best out of it. And once I accepted it, it got easier for me also to handle, because there was days where I went to training where I was thinking like, why am I even training? Because I'm not even playing. Like I can score bangers in training, but I'm not getting the chance to play. But once change my mindset a little bit, like also the happiness and the focus in training. Just thinking, hey, maybe soon might not be the right step for me now. Maybe it can be in a year or two, or maybe in another club, they will be happy to have me. And I just got to stay ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. That's very well said. It's just, yeah, making the best of your opportunity and your situation, you know, because, you know, I get questions a lot like, you know, what if the coach doesn't play me in, you know, my position, or what if he only gives me these amount of minutes? But the goal is always to make the most of that opportunity, because that's all you can do. You know, you only get that opportunity, and then, you know, hopefully you change the coach's mind. And if not, like you said, you find another opportunity.
Exactly. Exactly. That's 100% like that.
Yeah. So what was the difference between Croatia and Switzerland, you know, level wise, how they approach training, you know, any major differences you saw?
I mean, the biggest difference was like maybe the physical aspect. Like in Switzerland, they are like similar to, like they want to play a high pressure football, like they want to run a lot, they want to fight. Croatia is maybe more like maybe Italy, or like all the Balkan countries, like they try to play football, they play football. But also, like, I mean, I gotta be honest, like the quality of the pitches and the stadiums, like, is so much higher in Switzerland. Like you play
for sure
on perfect pitches almost every weekend, and that was not the fact in Croatia actually. So, you know, that was maybe also one of the biggest differences as well. Like in Switzerland, you got a feeling of being a real professional actually, because you have perfect have all these stadiums, you have all these fans. Croatia, like some teams, they have good stadiums, like good training grounds as well, but not all of them. Like some of them are really like poor, or like not spending too much money on it, like having old stadiums, bad grass and all these things. And like, yeah, that's probably the biggest difference out the physical part. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that brings up another question, actually, especially with how well Croatia has been doing on the international stage. Do you think like that, like not perfect environment makes players better, more hard-nosed, hardworking, maybe even makes their technique better? Or do you just think that's based on like Croatia as a whole, their development of players?
I mean, 100%, it's got to be like that, because like also you see like players from these countries, like they grow up with almost nothing. Like they're on the streets playing football, like from the young age. Like it's not like, sometimes the mentality is different. They just see football as their only chance to get situation there. So, and that's maybe the biggest difference from maybe, I don't know, Switzerland or Germany, or like where, like in countries where like you have a good education and all these things, a good environment. And that's probably the biggest thing. And that's maybe the reason why in Croatia, maybe I cannot speak for all of them, but maybe the majority of it is like that, the mentality is different, because they are getting forced to, that's their only chance to do, like that's
for sure,
get out of it. And that's maybe the extra percent more they gotta put in than maybe other players.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Yeah, brother. So take us along to Finland after FC Tune. You went over to AC Oulu. How was that experience?
I mean, it was great. Like before I got there, like I had a talk with FC Tune. Like they changed a coach, and the coach wanted to change a system in his formation. He said he wanted to play without wingers. I'm a winger actually, and so they told me from the board that, okay, your time in Tune might have come to an end, because it's going to be difficult for you to play. You can sit here, you have a contract, you can sit out your contract, but like just to let you know that it's going to be hard for you to get any minutes. And I said, okay, well, what are the other opportunities? And so AC Oulu came up in a summer transfer window to sign me first on loan. So I'm getting paid from Tune, but playing in AC Oulu. And I mean, I checked Oulu, I checked the city on my phone on the map. I was like, holy, like, place like super far north. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it there. Like, I went there, mixed feelings. But I gotta be honest with you, like from the first day in, like I fell in love with the place. Like it was amazing. Like also the team, they were super open. Like they welcomed me very well. The coaches, like even the coach and the sporting director, they picked me up from the airport. So it was really a sign of valuing me as a player. And I went there and I became an important player like instantly. Like I was in my debut when I got the permission to play. We played the first team, like HJK Helsinki. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember that Oulu didn't win like in, I don't know, 10 years against them.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I went there, I started like in my first game with Oulu, I was a starter. I scored the 1-0.
Wow.
And we even won like 2-1.
Wow.
And
so wow.
Everybody was happy. I was happy. Fans were happy. They welcomed me even more now. And yeah, it was amazing. Like the Oulu was amazing. And after that, unfortunately, like they got me a new contract in winter. And I was one of the key players there. And but after a time, injury, I didn't know exactly what it was. I got a hamstring struggles, but it like broken or anything. I just had some pain in it. They couldn't figure out what it was. So I was, I don't know, 2 or 3 months out without a game. And then they said in summer, like, listen, like you are a valuable player for us, but like you gotta be on the pitch, and if you're injured, like it's just the reality of football, man. Like you can play so good, but like if you're injured, if they don't see the value in you anymore, it's just business, man. It's just
100%
be friends with all of them, but business is business. Like they gotta mind your business, you gotta mind your business, and that was it basically. Like so we didn't continue our work together because of things, but like, hey, I still have much love for Oulu. Like they gave me a chance when nobody else wanted to. Yeah, it was like a really good time, and I still have a lot of friends there.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's very well said, you know, touching on the last point. And it's unfortunate, you know, the truth is, like, as a footballer, we both know you're only as good as your last game.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why it's so important, like we talk about from the beginning, always doing the right things day in, day out, and taking care of your own self. I always say, like, you are your own individual asset. If you look at yourself as a business, you are the product. You constantly polishing that product every single day is going to be the reason why you get your next opportunity. And the truth is, you know, rent is due every single day, no matter what. Like, you have to pay that rent every single day, and if you don't pay the rent, it just adds up. It adds up and you get these debts, you know? So that's the truth, man. But yeah, I mean, I'm also very, very glad to hear what you said about Finland. I agree with you. I think Finnish people are some of the most friendly and open, welcoming people.
100%.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like you said, like you looked at it on the map and maybe it wasn't the best opportunity, but it goes back to show, like, you just have to go and try. And I think one of the best things as a footballer is like being appreciated by the club, you know, and by people. That's when you really can shine, you know.
Exactly, 100%. Like, you just got to do it. Just take the chance and do it. Like I said, I didn't know what was waiting for me in Oulu because I never heard from the place. I never heard from the city. That part of the world. And yeah, but hey, in the end, it turned out great. Like, I made friends. Like, it's also like the thing in football, like, you're making friends all over the planet, so that's another positive thing you can take up
for sure
from this business. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, brother, so take us into 22-23. You made a move to Lahti as well, which is in Finland. Yeah,
exactly. It's also in the first tier of Finland. Like, when my contract expired with Oulu, like, I was at home like for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks waiting for a new opportunity somewhere. And Lahti, they knew me, of course, from my time in Oulu. They were looking for a player like me, and they contacted me pretty fast. Like, after I got out of Oulu, they contacted me pretty fast, and I was in good talks with them. I flew over to talk with them. And hey, I signed a contract. Everything was fine. Everything was super good there as well. Like, I was appreciated by the players, by the fans as well. It just didn't turn out for the whole team, like, because we were struggling, like, creating chances. We were playing maybe a football, like, or like, that wasn't made for me, mate. Like, we were playing so many, like, just long balls, fighting,
yeah,
being too defensive because Lahti was struggling maybe with getting out of the league. And so I couldn't shine as I did in Oulu. I couldn't show my skill set, my strengths as I wanted to. I, like I said, I tried to do my best, but yeah, like, I played, I kept playing, I got my minutes in, but it wasn't working out Oulu. So Lahti was maybe, from the football point of view, maybe not as good as in Oulu, but like I said, it was both. Like, man, the people there, just Finnish people in general, like, they're so,
yeah,
they're so, I love them, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're amazing. Like, in Lahti and in Oulu, like, I got so many,
yeah,
people, I'm in contact with them almost every day. And yeah, I definitely want to go back to Finland to visit them at least. Like,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to play there anymore, but like, just visiting them. Like, I love the country, I love the culture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very into nature, open-minded people. Saunas are unbelievable. Women are nice looking, so it's not bad, you know? Yeah. So after Lahti, you made a move. That's when you made your move to Spain, your most recent move. Take us through that.
Yeah, like after the season ended in Lahti, I got an offer from Spain, like from a third-tier club. And that happened very, like, spontaneous and very fast. Like, there was just a guy contacting me through Instagram. I was thinking that's like kind of a spam or whatever, but
yeah,
turned out to be like a serious guy, a serious agent that was looking for that club, like, for players for that club. And yeah, it turned out to be great as well. Like, I was there like the first day in. I made friends already. Like, my neighbor in the same block in was a player as well, and he invited me like the first day, and I just arrived. He didn't even unpack my bags. Like, he just invited me for dinner with him and some other friends from the team. So it was a warm welcome. And there as well, like, there I got a little bit like of an unlucky streak with injuries, like, but I couldn't play as much as I wanted to there. But I think the time all in all was great as well. Like, there again, like, Spanish people there, like, the culture is like the opposite from Finland, but it's still like so warm, welcome,
mm-hmm,
people. Like, it's still amazing. And with those people as well, like, I mean, I stayed after the season for like a month more in Spain just to hang out with those friends, to be working out with them as well, like, to having practices together for off season. So yeah, you can tell that I made really good friends there as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Spanish culture is just very warm as well. So it's, I completely agree. And you speak Spanish now?
Yeah. Now, like,
yeah,
Spanish when I was in Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Now again, like, I could refresh it a bit, and now.
For sure. That's awesome.
That I learned. Beautiful language.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
brother. So as we get towards the end, I want to ask you a little bit about your national team career. I see, you know, you started your first match in UEFA Euro 2016 against Russia. Was that your first start?
Actually, my first start was in a friendly just 3 days before that game in Russia.
Okay.
Where, against Bosnia. That was
okay.
A crazy story because actually I'm Bosnian. My parents are Bosnians.
Yeah.
So at that time I was in Atletico, and the Bosnian national team, they were fighting for me as well, like,
mm-hmm,
to play for Bosnia as well. And then when I got invited for that friendly game for Liechtenstein, they were cheering up because, as you know, after a friendly game, you can still change nationality. So they were still hoping to maybe, okay, get a move to Bosnia. Like, my parents were with the Bosnian Football Association and all these things. But I mean, that never happened. Like, Liechtenstein, after that, like 3 days after, I played my first official game with Liechtenstein. And yeah, I mean, the game itself, the experience was amazing, like, in front of a full crowd in Russia, in Moscow, but also, like, from the Bosnian fans, Bosnian people on Facebook, on Instagram,
yeah.
I got a big shitstorm as well, so
yeah.
But yeah, that's football. I mean, you cannot please everyone. Like, you gotta look for yourself. You gotta do what's best for you. And that was it.
Absolutely.
And, like, I don't regret it. Like, not at one point in my career to make made the decision to play for Liechtenstein, because I grew up. Oh, that's why.
For sure. Yeah. And what's been your overall experience? You know, I see you have 4 international goals, 1 against Qatar, 2 against Gibraltar, 1 against Greece. How's the overall experience been playing for your country? I mean, I'm sure there's nothing like it.
I mean, yeah, like, it's always, like, special when you play with the national team, like, when the national anthems, like, when you hear them, like, in front of a full crowd and all these things. It's amazing, man. But it's just, like, it's difficult for a country as Liechtenstein, for a small country like we are, to compete at the highest level. But you still got to be thankful for doing it. Like, you can show what you got. Like, you can see, hey, if you play against Spain, for example, like, you can see, okay, those players are on a different level. Like, hey, you can scout them, like, from the best position, because you're on the
like, yeah.
Like, how good they are. And, like, it's just a special experience to play against those players, those big names. And, like, I'm so grateful to get the chance to do that. Yeah.
Who's the best team you played against with the national team?
I mean, I would say Germany, Spain, or Italy.
Wow.
I'm just waiting for England now. Like, Portugal is
coming, yeah.
Portugal is coming in 2 weeks. So in November,
wow.
Cristiano Ronaldo. So that's going to be a
big. Yeah, that's unbelievable, bro.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for England. Then I played basically against all the big teams, and France, of
course. Yeah.
So wow. They're missing. Yeah.
Wow. Would that be, who's the best player you ever played against?
Wow, that's, I would say Leroy Sané, maybe.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Like,
yeah.
But also,
just
like, we played against the prime Spanish team, like, with all these big stars, like,
wow,
the quality. Thiago is a player like that.
Yeah, baller.
Like, these guys, you can't fall away from him. Like, it's actually crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two.
Bro. Wow. Yeah, yeah, unbelievable, bro. Yeah, man. As we get towards the end of the interview, just some quick fire questions. So. Let's go maybe to top 3 places you've ever been, just for, like, travel, social life, like, just, like, in terms of enjoyment.
I would say Mexico, beaches in Mexico.
Yeah.
I was in Miami.
Wow.
I would say in Europe, probably Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good call, bro. Yep. Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How about favorite cheat meal?
Favorite cheat meal, I would say burgers and French fries.
Love it. Yep. Love it. Top 3 travel destinations in your next 10 to 20 years that you want to go to?
Tokyo, Japan.
That's a good call.
Sydney and Los Angeles.
Some good calls, brother.
Yeah.
Good calls. Favorite healthy meal to eat?
I would say avocado toast for breakfast.
Good call, bro. Some poached eggs on there or what?
No, without, I don't like eggs.
Oh, you don't like eggs? No, jeez, no, bro. Miss it out on the protein.
Just bread, smashed avocado on it. Like,
yeah.
And juice and.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
for it. Sure. For sure. Yeah, brother. I mean, you know, thanks so much for the time. It was great to hear your journey and, you know, everything, you know, you've learned. I mean, learned a lot from you. And anything you got to add, anything you want to say to listeners, you know, from, I mean, you know, just your whole journey and just teach youngsters.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. Like,
of course.
I think, like, this hour now felt like 20 minutes talk. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But, like, just for your listeners, like, just keep your focus high. Like, just keep your goals present. Like, just remember why you're doing. Like, why you're doing all these sacrifices. Like, it's, you gotta be willing to take a lot of sacrifices for getting to where you want to be. But, like, in the end, it's gonna pay off. Like, just doing it. Like, bad times will come, but after rain comes sun. So
That's true, brother. That's true, brother. Yeah, man. With that being said, we wish you the best of luck in your international game against Portugal, and best of luck finding a new club. I'm sure it'll come quite soon, man.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
All right, brother. All right, brother.